Amen? Amen? Amen. Quickly stand up, if you will. It's going to be on the screen, but I want you to look at a couple of verses that are not going to be on the screen. So you'll have to either open up your Bible or open up your electronic device. One is in Isaiah 40, and the other is in Isaiah 55. If Reverend Will were here, he would say, what's understood doesn't need to be explained. And that's true. But I think what's understood also needs to be reviewed. Yes. Amen. And one of the things that needs to be reviewed is the importance of the Word of God. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here because you are here at church and you've come for the praise and worship. You've come for the prayer, but you've also come for the Word. Many of you go to Wednesday noontime Bible study or Wednesday evening Bible study, or you're a part of one of the Sunday school classes, so you have an appreciation for God's Word. But I'd like to remind you that each and every time we come to the Word of God, there's some truths that we may not even be aware of overtly, but we need to recognize and acknowledge over and over. The first is in Isaiah chapter 40, and it's verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. The word of our God stands forever. And then in Isaiah 55, we'll start at about verse 10. It says, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but to water the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The Word of God endures forever. And the Word of God never comes back to the Lord void. But it accomplishes the very thing for which it was sent out. And men and women, we don't need to come to God's Word casually. We don't need to come to God's Word with a spirit of laziness. We need to come to God's Word expectant. That God is going to do something in our lives. We need not think about who's not here and who needs to hear this. The truth of the matter is, and the glory of the matter is that we are here. Amen. And evidently, since we are here, we need to hear this. Amen, amen or oh me?
Amen.
Amen. Let's read the book of Philemon. We're going to read all 25 verses. It should be up on the screen. Follow me. Paul writes, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our brother, friend, and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus, toward all the saints, and the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because our hearts, the hearts of the saints, have been refreshed by you, brother. Verse 8. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather just appeal to you, being such as one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Verse 10. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I've begotten while in chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you. Therefore, receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you and owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Father, please speak to us through your word today. Help us see Jesus so that we might worship him and exalt him and put him in his rightful place. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Won't you say amen?
Amen.
Amen and amen. You may be seated. I make mention every once in a while that for the past 15 years or so, I've had the privilege of coaching basketball. I've coached girls, I've coached boys. I'm back to coaching the girls. You may say, well, Pastor Mike really likes basketball. Well, I do like basketball, but another reason why I coach is that it gets me in contact with people who are not a part of our church. I'm in it for the relational aspect. I want to build relationship with young people who might need to know Jesus. And it also gives me an opportunity, Dee, to build relationships with their parents. Yesterday, we had our basketball kickoff, and we had practice in the morning. What a good practice we had. And we decided to have a team outing, so I took the team to Urban Air over in Trustville. Say amen if you know where Urban Air is. It's one of those jump parks. It's one of those places where you let the kids play and the adults go sit down somewhere. So I went and sat down somewhere. We were there for about 2 hours and got ready to take them back in the school bus back to Fairfield Restoration Academy. And, of course, there are always two or three young ladies that are waiting on parents to pick them up. I used to get upset with it, but I just know it's part of the job now, Elder Fred. And so we had Janiyah, who was waiting for her mother. And I saw my assistant coach drive up in his car, and he had four or five players. And I thought he was just dropping off, but he stayed there. So I went outside and said, hey, coach, what are you doing? And he said, well, you know, Kayla's mama's not here yet. I said, coach, you've been here all day. You go on home. Tell Kayla to come on out. Matter of fact, I need to wait with Kayla because, you know, I got to make sure Kayla's mama's on my good side or I'm on her good side. And Kayla said this, and I'll never forget. She said, well, Pastor Mike, that ain't going to help because, you know, my mama mad at you already. I was like, oh, no, Kayla's mama can't be mad at me. Well, Kayla came in, the coach left, and I said, Kayla, why is your mama mad at me? Well, you know, when you asked me to stick around and do the books for the volleyball team, I had told you that I got in trouble with school, and mama said I couldn't stay. But you told me to stay and just tell your mama that I needed you. She didn't like that. So I made up in my mind when Miss Johnson came to pick up Kayla, I was going to tease her a little bit and just go right for it, Tracy. So she drives up. Kayla gets in the car. And I said, hey, Miss Johnson. I walked over to the driver's side window and I said, I hear you mad at me. And she looked, you know, eyes wide open. No, I'm not. I know you are. But I'm going to make up with you right now. I am so sorry for keeping it. I know it's my fault. Do you like coffee? She said, yeah, I like coffee. I said, well, I got 3 Starbucks gift cards at home. I'm going to give gift cards. I'm going to make it up to you because I did you wrong. And the last thing I want to do is get on your bad side. She's just grinning. And she's like, come on, hug my neck, hug my neck. Give me. And you know why? Because relationships are important. Relationships with people are important. And men and women, we've got a choice to make in relationships. Either the issue is more important than the person, or the person is more important than the issue. And men and women, we live in a day and time when it has become the habit of people to throw away other folks out of their lives. Even family members will say, well, you can no longer come to my house, or I don't ever want to talk to you anymore, or I don't have anything to do with you. And if we don't verbalize it, sometimes our lack of communication speaks louder than our words. And I'm here to tell you that that is not the gospel. It is not the gospel. And if we want to shine bright in a dead, dark, decaying world, we have to be gifted in establishing and maintaining relationships with people. John wrote like this. He says, how can you say you love God, whom you've never, ever seen, and yet hate your brother, who you see every single day? And men and women, I think that God has a word for us. This series that I'm going to start this morning is entitled A Quick Word. A Quick Word. A look at the four one-chapter New Testament books, or New Testament letters. Other preachers have called them, because they were so short, New Testament postcards. Paul has written this book of Philippians, or this letter or postcard of, Philemon. John has written a letter entitled 2 John, which is one chapter, and another letter that we entitled 3 John, which is one chapter. And then the brother of Jesus writes a letter, and his name is Jude, all of which are one chapter books. Men and women, this is going to be more like a teaching series than a hooping preaching series. And so my goal for you is to get an overview of understanding A Quick Word. Understanding these one chapter books, because you may be like me. You have friends and you have family members. You get on the phone with them and they talk for a long time. And you enjoy the conversation. But sometimes you see their name come up on your screen and you don't answer it because you know it's going to be a long time and you don't have that. You just need a quick word. Or sometimes you call them knowing that they're going to want to talk for a long time, and you preface the conversation by saying, hey, just a quick word, so-and-so, 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 got to go. You may do that with a text message, or you may do that in person. And men and women, those quick words are important. Those quick words, like when you've got to make an announcement about somebody being in the hospital, or you've got to make an announcement about somebody being sick, or you've got to make an announcement, those dreadful announcements that somebody passed away, and you've got other phone calls to make. You preface it by saying, hey, just a quick word. Many believe that this letter of Philemon was written at the time that Philippians was written and Colossians was written. It is called a prison epistle because Paul writes it while he is incarcerated. And in between these doctrinal letters, Philippians and Colossians and Ephesians, he just gives a quick word to his friend Philemon. Men and women, for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about this quick word. I hope that it blesses you the way it blesses me. So if you were to look at Philemon, the next slide, it is about a slave named Onesimus, who had escaped from his owner, Philemon, and had run away from Colossae to Rome in the hope that he could disappear into that populace, into that urban environment. But once he's in Rome, Onesimus, either by accident or by his own design, came in contact with Paul, who promptly led the runaway slave to faith in Jesus Christ. So in AD 60 or 61, from that prison cell in Rome, Paul wrote a personal letter to Philemon and sent Onesimus the slave back to Colossae. Let me say a word about slavery in the first century in Rome. It wasn't like the slavery that we've experienced here in the United States. The slavery back then was much like indentured servanthood. Many would willingly put themselves in as a servant of a wealthy person or someone of high standing. Rather than being in poverty, they knew they would have a place to live, they would have food to eat, and a job. And they would hire themselves out and be indentured servants. Many believe that just about every wealthy person in Rome had servants. Onesimus was one of them. This is not a book that promotes slavery. Matter of fact, I talked to some of my brothers and sisters, brown-skinned brothers and sisters, who don't know Jesus, and they say, well, I can't worship a God who condones slavery, and then they will point to the book of Philemon, and then I have to tell them, the Bible isn't a book about slavery. The Bible does tell you what's going on during that time and that age. But it doesn't promote. As a matter of fact, if you were to look in the Old Testament, God's people were enslaved in Egypt, and God sent a man to tell them, let my people go. So don't give me that. So now that we're beyond that, we can move on. Amen or oh me. Back to Philemon. If you were to look at an outline of the book, verses 1 through 3, he greets Philemon. And he says, Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow brother. We know that he knows Philemon, that he has shared with Philemon. Many people think that Paul led Philemon to the Lord Jesus. Then you get verses 4 through 7. He talks about his gratitude for Philemon. In verse 4, he says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and your faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Verse 7 says, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you. Men and women, not only is Philemon a wealthy man who had servants under his authority, but evidently he was a believer who was in contact with Paul, and Paul may have led him to the Lord. Not only is he a believer, but the church there at Colossae meets in his house. So he is not only a believer, but he is a church leader. He is in contact with him. He loves the brethren. He encourages the brethren. And let me put a parenthesis right here. Here Paul is getting ready to have a sensitive conversation with Philemon, whose slave has run away, whose slave maybe has stolen from him, whose slave is coming back, and he has to convince him to receive him back. He doesn't jump right in. He begins to commend him. He begins to encourage him. And men and women, when you got to have a hard conversation with somebody, let me tell you, it is better if you start with kind words than if you don't. The level of the conversation will not rise above the first 3 minutes. If you start contentious, if you start adversarial, then that's the way it will continue. But Paul said, hey, we know your love, brother. We're encouraged by your love, brother. We keep praying for you, brother. I know the hearts of all the saints have been refreshed by you. You're a good brother. Love you. Now, in verses 8 through 21, he starts talking about how he is called to forgive Onesimus. Verse 10 summarizes it. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I've begotten while in my chains. I'm starting off, hey, I'm writing because I'm appealing for Onesimus, who became a believer while I'm here under arrest. He's coming back to you. And then for the rest of that time in 8 through 21, he talks to Onesimus, to Philemon, about how he ought to receive Onesimus as a brother. He concludes by mentioning all of these fellow laborers that he has, Mark and, and Aristarchus and Epaphras and Demas and Luke. You're on the same level. You're a co-laborer too. You see, he's causing Philemon's mindset to rise above this just being between him and Onesimus. No, this issue that you have with facing whether or not you're going to forgive is about the body of Christ. It's about the gospel. And men and women, I'm going to mention this later on toward the end of the message, but you can search all you want in these 25 verses of this one chapter. You're not going to hear Paul talk about Jesus' death. You're not going to hear him talk about his burial. Darlene, you're not going to even hear him talk about his resurrection. But throughout each verse is the gospel message. Men and women, it's so important that there are three principles that I'm going to talk about that each one of us need to master in order to have good relationships with one another. The first concept is reconciliation. What do you do when you've wronged someone? What do you do when you have offended someone? What do you do when you know that you've sinned against someone, that you know that they are offended by you, that you know? Do you just let it ride? Do you just remain silent? Do you just say, well, I didn't really want to have a relationship with them anyway. It's okay with me. Or do you seek reconciliation? Let me say this. In the Gospels, it says if you come to the altar and you know that a brother or a sister has aught against you, you get up from the altar, you go to that brother or sister, you make it right to them, and then you come back to the altar. So it's not a suggestion that Pastor Mike is saying. It's Bible. If you know you've wronged someone, you need to seek reconciliation through confession and repentance. But not only that, the other concept is not just reconciliation. The other concept is forgiveness. Maybe you're the person who has been wronged. Maybe you're the person who's been offended. And when that person comes back, what you going to do? Are you going to say flippantly, well, I forgive you, but I ain't going to forget it? Well, then you hadn't really forgiven. Men and women, are you just going to give lip service to it, but you know in your heart, they're still in the prison of your heart? Or are you going to release them? Are you going to hold them accountable to pay back the debt? Are you going to hold a grudge? Are you going to say, well, no, this issue is so a whole lot more important than you are, and I'm going to hold on to the issue? This book talks about that. But there's a third. Not only reconciliation, not only forgiveness, but the concept of mediation. Well, what is mediation? It is when two parties are warring against one another and they need to call in a third party who they call a mediator. One who can grab the hand of one and grab the hand of the other and bring them together. One who serves as like an arbiter. One who says, I'm willing and I have the courage enough to get in the middle of this because both of them are important to me. And men and women, we need courageous folk like that. We need folks who won't shrink back, who will address the issue head on, who will say, y'all don't need to be at war with one another. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it don't. But we need people who will bring together, bring other people, and bring people at odds together. Probably the best compliment I've gotten in the last number of years was from a brother who's not a part of this church. And it was just one of those, off-the-cuff statements. We were talking about something. And he says, you know what I like about you, Pastor Mike? I said, what? I have been talking about my service at Birmingham Southern. I've been talking about being at Restoration. I've been talking about the church and talking about family. And, you know, we're just kind of shooting the breeze. He says, what I like about you is that you're a promoter of people. Men and women, I don't mind that reputation at all. A promoter of people. Because there is an alternative. You just think about the opposite of being a promoter of people. Well, you know what I don't like about you? You throw people away. You keep people to the curb. You hold grudges against people. You don't like people. You don't love people. And men and women, we want to be known as a people that promote other people. If you're understanding what I'm saying, say amen. So briefly, I've already done it, but we're going to go through the three main characters of the story. The first character is Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave or an indentured servant. He wronged his master. He ran away to find freedom, yet he didn't realize he was still enslaved. Tried to get so far away from what he had done, he was a runaway. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. But I've tried to run away from some things that I've done. I've tried to run away from my sin. I've tried to run away from God. But the further I thought I got was the closer I got to God's will. Here he was, he ran over 1,000 miles from Colossae to Rome, and yet here he is, he runs into Paul. Paul probably had a conversation with him and said, "Where you're from?" He said, "Well, I'm from Colossae." He said, "Well, you know what? I got a friend there. And his name is Philemon." You can imagine what Onesimus did. He probably hung his head. "Yeah, I know Philemon too." Well, what's that F on your head stand for? Fugitivus, which means I'm a runaway slave. Men and women, before we come to know Jesus Christ, we have F's on our head. Fugitivus, runaway slave, runaway lawbreaker, runaway ne'er-do-well, runaway, running away from God because of our unrighteousness and our sin. And each one of us have run right into the gospel, thinking we were running so far away from God. We ran into a grandmama, or we ran into somebody that told us about Jesus, or we ran into a preacher, or we ran into a church service, or we ran into a gospel hymn, or we ran into somebody preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we got convicted of our sin. That's what happened to Onesimus. But Onesimus is not the only character. There's Philemon. Philemon was a close friend to Paul. It's possible that he led him to Christ. But not only that, he had church met at his house. Philemon was a Christian slave owner. Onesimus was his runaway slave. Paul appeals to him to forgive Onesimus and now consider him a brother. His call is to forgiveness. Many of us have been wronged by other folk, and we need to be forgiven, or we need to give forgiveness to others. I think that this book puts a spotlight on forgiveness. I think that it dispels all of those things. And one thing that I'll point out, Carmen, is that the real villain, the real person who is at issue, is the person who has to decide whether or not they will forgive. Jesus tells the story of a man who owed a king more than he could ever pay. He owed him like Bill Gates kind of wealth. He goes to the king and pleads his case and says, "I can't, please have mercy on me." The king has mercy on him. He releases him from the debt that he owes. This man immediately goes out and finds somebody that only owes him a day's wage. The man's not able to pay. The man who owed this great amount finds him. He can't pay. He decides to put him in prison. One of the servants of the king finds out that this man did this. The king says, "Bring him here to me." He says, "How could you be forgiven so much and not forgive this man who owes you so little? Since you did not forgive, I'm putting you in prison and handing you over to the torturers." But it doesn't stop there. It stops when Jesus says, "And so will God, your heavenly Father, do to you all of those who do not forgive." Men and women, that verse is saying that God will hand us over to the torturers if we don't forgive. Well, how can God hand us over to the torturers? He is handing us over to the natural consequence, the spiritual consequence of unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, and resentment in your heart. We are the ones who are tortured. We are the ones who are in bondage. We are the ones who experience the consequences. And you've heard it before. Unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment in your heart is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It doesn't work like that. So Philemon has a decision to make. Am I going to forgive? Men and women, I believe that this passage teaches three things. At any given point in our lives, we are in a situation where we are either Onesimus, having to be reconciled because we've wronged others, Philemon, will we forgive, or God may put us in a position of Paul. Will I intercede? Men and women, we've got to think through that. We've got to ask ourselves, will we respond? And make no mistake, in each case, either we're Onesimus or we're Philemon and we're Paul. In each case, we are called to be like Jesus. In each case. And men and women, it is spiritually significant. Our relationships are dying. Our relationships are deteriorating. Our relationships are not what God wants them to be because we're unwilling to be Christ-like. Men, women, I think it's so important. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is not mentioned here in this letter, but the gospel is. Look at Philemon verses 10 and 11. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I've begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me. Men and women, the gospel is right there. New King James uses the word profitable and unprofitable. The King James uses, rightfully so, the word useful. And it's a play on words that Paul is making to Philemon. Because in the original language, the name Philemon means useful. And what Paul is saying was, when he was under your care, when he was a servant of yours, when he stole your property, when he ran away, he wasn't being useful. But he came, he got saved, he gave his life to Jesus, he is now a believer. He once was not useful, he once was not Onesimus, but now he's useful, now he's Onesimus, now he's what God wants him to be. And men and women, that's us. That's the gospel. We weren't who we really were supposed to be before we got saved. We weren't all that God wanted us to be before we got saved. We weren't what we could be before we got saved. But when we gave our life to Jesus, Jesus came into our lives. He forgave us of all of our sin. He gave us new life. He gave us eternal life. He gave us adoption. He accepted us in the beloved. He gave us His Holy Spirit. And He sealed us with the Spirit. Now we're who we ought to be in Jesus because we are new people. He wasn't Onesimus before, but now He is. He was unprofitable before, but now He's profitable. That's the gospel. But not only that. Look at verses 15 and 16. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. Men and women, you may look at your life and you say, well, God, why'd you allow that hardship to happen? God, why'd you allow that difficulty to happen? God, why did you put that tragedy in my life? Lord, God, why did that person die? Why did that person get sick? Why did I go bankrupt? How come I had to have a divorce? God says, maybe, just maybe, because of that, you got this. Y'all ain't hearing me. Maybe because of that, you got this. Maybe because you went through that hardship, you a little bit better. Maybe because you went through that tragedy, you can understand my grace a little bit better. Maybe because you went through that, it set your heart ready to receive Jesus. Maybe because you went through that hardship with that person and y'all made up and y'all got it back together, you're closer now than you were then. You have a better relationship because now you've been through something. That's the gospel. Some of us are wondering why, well, God, if you God, you should have made it real easy. No, there is a redemptive value in all of our suffering. Amen or oh me. Is anybody out there? I love this book. I love this letter. This is my story right here. Because I had to leave California and go all the way across country. First semester on that campus, pulling what little hair I had on my head out. So anxious and so nervous and as under so much stress. I had migraine headaches. And then Greg Groover, that junior at Morehouse, said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. It was like everything became clear. Maybe I had to go through that so I could get this. That's a word for somebody. Not only that, but verses 17 and 18. And if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, in writing with my own hand, I'll repay. In these two verses, Paul is a type of Christ. Men and women, if you put Jesus right there, if you put our Lord and Savior right there, you can hear him say the same thing to our Heavenly Father. If Sally owes you anything, you receive her the same way you would receive me. But if Sally owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Jesus, am writing with my own hands on this cross. I will repay. Because Jesus paid it in full. Jesus did what we could not do. Jesus had the resources. Jesus had everything that was needed to satisfy the wrath of God because of our sin. If he owes you anything, credit it to my account. If he owes you anything, if he's been a lawbreaker, if he's taken your grace for granted, if he has ignored you and he's disrespected you, Heavenly Father, credit it to me. I'll take the punishment. I'll take the pain. I'll suffer on the cross. I will repay everything that they owe. That's the gospel. Amen. Some of us, sometimes we look at Onesimus, but Onesimus is just us. Philemon is a type of God the Father who has been wounded and offended. But Paul is acting like Jesus. I'll be a mediator and take the hand of the sinner and take the hand of the one who has been offended. And if they owe anything, I'll bring them together so that there's no longer an issue. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that there won't be any issue between us and God the Father anymore. If he owes you anything, I will repay. I'll close with this. I heard an illustration this week that really blessed me and put everything into perspective. Because the quick word is simply this. Either you're Onesimus, Philemon, or Paul. Either God has called you to reconciliation to make it right with somebody, or God has called you to forgive somebody, or God has called you to be a mediator. Listen, let me tell you about being a mediator. You will die. Amen. Y'all gonna get that in a minute. Our mediator died on a cross, but he made it right. Put you in perspective. Raise your hand, and seriously now, don't be overly spiritual. If I had $1 million in my cash money, Mom Winifred, and I'm giving it to you, raise your hand if you would take it. $1 million. Keep your hand raised. Let's just say, make it a little bit sweeter, Reggie. I had $10 million. You had $10 million. You wealthy now, you rich. Would anything bother you? If somebody else owed you a little bit of money, would you have a problem with them? You got 10 million, maybe they owed you 100. No problem. No problem at all. Now, If I had that million or that 10 million and I offered to give it to you under one condition, tomorrow you wouldn't wake up. Raise your hand if you'd still take it. Elder Fred, you so low down. Elder Fred, yeah, I still take it. Most of you did not raise your hand. You know why? Because waking up in the morning is more valuable to you than $1 million. That $1 million, you said not a whole lot would bother you. Issues wouldn't be of concern because you are rich. But what you just told me is that waking up is more valuable than that. So how come all this other stuff is bothering you? So how come all of this stuff has got you under your skin? How come when God has convicted you that you've wronged somebody, how come you're scared and you got issues and you won't come back to them and say, hey, I've wronged you, I'm sorry, I repent, I will do what I need to do to make that thing right with you. We won't do it because we don't think that's valuable. You waking up this morning was so you could do that. Here somebody has wronged you and you're holding on to forgiveness. You will not forgive them. You're holding on to that grudge. You're holding on to that offense. You're holding on to whatever. But you just told me waking up in the morning is more valuable to you than $1 million. And yet you're still holding on to that grudge. Still holding on to that issue. But you woke up this morning, and get this, it's going to be even more valuable the next morning, and the next morning, and the next. You are rich. You aren't losing anything when you go and confess and repent. You aren't losing anything when you forgive. And some of us are so cowardly. We got a loved one over here and a loved one over there, and you know that they're fighting, and you listening to all of the insults of the loved one, for the loved one over there, you're listening to all their insults of that they have of this one over here, and you just nod in your head, and you could do something, but you don't. Because you're fearful. No, if you love them, you love them. They know you love them. Paul was courageous enough to say, hey, I could compel you to do this, but I'm just asking you to do this. You know I love you, and now I love Onesimus. I'm getting in the middle of this thing because, see, I woke up this morning. And for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Men and women, our perspective needs to change because God has placed issues and concerns in our lives where we can represent the gospel. And that's all He wants us to do. Amen or oh me. I'm sorry I ain't got nothing for y'all to shout on. But I do think this is a quick word for all of us. It's just a quick word. It's just one chapter, 25 verses. But it's power packed. And get this. I'll close with this, Reverend. You'll laugh on this one. You can pronounce it anything you want to pronounce it. Philemon, Philemon, Fleming, floppy disk, whatever you want to call it. I've heard all of it. I say Philemon, you call it whatever you want. The message stays the same. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word today. We ask, Father, that you would help us to be like Jesus. Confess, repent of our sin, make it right with those we've wronged. Help us to be forgivers. To give it freely because we're rich. We're rich. Father, where we can and where we have adequate relationship, where both parties know that we love them and we have no hidden agenda, help us to be mediators, to be peacemakers between our brothers and sisters who are around us. Help us live out the gospel of Jesus, who died on a rugged cross, who shed His blood for our sins, who was buried, and who was raised on the third day. In Jesus' name, won't you say amen, 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 amen. And amen.